Well, good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. Happy that you've decided to be here in worship. This morning I want to talk about greatness. What is greatness? You know, you might turn on your television and you might see things like infamous is great. Someone that's a genius. Someone that's making great changes in our world. Or you might consider greatness are those people that are getting all the news coverage. You know, the other day I was reading a little article on an actor that, you know, we haven't heard from. And one of the reasons why, supposedly, was because they didn't have enough controversy in their life. And no one cares about those people that don't live in controversy. They want drama. Isn't that crazy? You know, when I was a small boy, when Muhammad Ali was fighting, I remember Howard Cosell would come up and, you know, "Muhammad, can you give us a word?" And he said, "I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest, I'm the greatest." And we think someone like that is great. You know, this really might cause us to ask this question a little bit differently. Who is greatest according to who? This morning I want us to have an idea about the kingdom, kingdom greatness. You know, last week we talked about the kingdom a little bit and we talked about righteousness, remember, from Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And we saw that what we should be doing is seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness. I want you to take a trip with me this morning to Mark chapter 10, starting about verse 35. And Jesus had been preaching and teaching up to this point, and thank you, Gerald, for reading Matthew 18, this very shocking section here about who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus said that you have to be humble like this little child. This section is where the sons of Zebedee, John and James, came to Jesus and said, "Master, we want you to give us whatever we ask." So this morning, they came and said, "What can you do for me, Jesus?" This morning, why did you come here? What was your motivation for coming here this morning? Was it like James and John seeking glory and power? See, that's what they really wanted, was power and glory. There was a little selfish ambition there. They wanted to get an edge on their brothers. It wasn't like the attitude that Thomas had later when he saw Jesus after the resurrection, and you remember what he said? "My Lord and my God." Do you come to Jesus wanting things like friends? Is that why you come to church, seeking friends? Do you come looking for support? Do you come looking for customers for your business? What is your motivation for being here this morning? See, Jesus turned that question around and said, "What do you want me to do for you? What is your motivation for being here? Are you serving your Lord and your God, as Thomas so profoundly said? Are you wanting Jesus to do something for you?" You know, John Kennedy made that famous statement, right? "Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." You know, sometimes I think we have distorted views about what we think is great and what we want. You know, we grow up, our parents telling us, you know, "You got to go to college, you got to get a good job, you got to make a difference in this world, right? You got to do something great." When the Bible teaches us to be humble and quiet servants. You see, the sons of Zebedee, they had kind of an attitude, maybe it's because they thought they were closer to Jesus, that they could ask such a great question as this from Jesus. "Do for us whatever we want." You know, they could have asked for pleasures, they could have asked for an ease of life, But instead, they wanted to be seated at a prominent place in the kingdom of heaven. You see, they wanted to be great. They wanted to have glory. They wanted to be recognized. How many of us, we go throughout life, we think, I got to do better than someone else, right? Don't we have that attitude? We got to be better. I got to be better than them. You know, I can remember having a certain guy in my class at Bear Valley. He was trying to rank us with each other. He was always trying to compare us to each other. And I don't think it was for righteous reasons. I just think he was trying to pit us against each other. You know, I think that's a terrible battle that you see people getting into in the church, and because that's the way it is in the business world, right? They call that dog eat dog, right? You got to get ahead. It doesn't matter who you step on to get there. Well, see, that's not like that in the church. Jesus said you got to serve. You got to be humble. If we keep reading, we see this motivation of these guys is really, it's selfish ambition. It's selfish ambition. We want glory and we want power, Mark 10:36. They wanted to matter. Don't we teach each other that we've got to matter, what we do and what we say? It's got to matter. Not only did they want themselves to matter, but they wanted people to know that they matter. They were trying to get that edge on the other 10 disciples. Why do we want these things? We go throughout life being told by our peers and our teachers, you got to make a difference, you got to do this and you got to do that. You see, they were kind of caught up in what we sometimes see in the business world and in government as what we call the good old boy program. We do this, don't we? We know that if we know certain people in life or work or business, that if we know somebody, they might be able to help us, what? Get ahead. Get ahead of everybody else. We look for friends like this sometimes. We look for friends that can give us an edge. Are we looking to Jesus like that? For Him to give us an edge in business or friendships in this world? We see the good old boy program at work in government, don't we? Well, what Jesus teaches here is that doesn't work here in the kingdom. You see, that doesn't work for us here. We even see this, well, we see it in church. We see when we say things like, my grandma built this church. My grandparents built this church. My parents were here from day one. You see, what we're saying is that we have something up on you when we say things like this. I was talking to a dear friend of mine this week who's somewhere preaching, and he's miserable because of attitudes like this. He's miserable. He's actually questioning his ministry. He's actually questioning things like, you know, when I used to drive that school bus, it doesn't seem like that bad now. And I wanted to tell him, I told him, I said, don't measure your whole ministry on your first work or what's going on at this particular place. Because jealousy hurts, doesn't it? Jealousy hurts not only you, but it hurts others as well. I'm recalling a time when Saul was very jealous of David. When those coming back from battle were saying, Saul has killed his thousands and David has killed his tens of thousands. Saul became very jealous and embittered because of that. It's because jealousy hurts. It hurts you and it hurts others. We get on the wrong path sometimes. James and John were certainly on this wrong path when they said this, because Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. What is the real path to glory and greatness? He says, you don't know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? And very quickly and ambitiously they said, "We are." You know, I remember as a young man when I was asked if I could do something, very confident and quickly I said, "Yes, I can," without even considering the ramifications, what I was going to have to go through to get there. But yes, I could do it, confidently. Jesus says, "I tell you, you will drink this cup. In fact, you will be baptized with the same baptism that I am baptized with." Nowadays, my attitude is a little bit different than that, about that very confident attitude. Nowadays, I say things like, "Lord, help me." I pray more, and my confidence is not so much in myself, but God. I trust this morning that as you grow in Christ and you become more involved in His life and what He's done for you, that your attitude changes like that. That you say, "God, help me." I told my friend that this week. I said, "Let's pray together." Let me tell you, it was hard. It was hard to know he was hurting. And it was tough to say, "It's not like that for me here in Worland." You know? I almost felt bad. But I wanted to share with him what it's really supposed to be like when brethren care for each other and love each other. And they're not trying to one-up each other. Because that's worldly greatness and not kingdom greatness. See what Jesus was really trying to motivate these guys to realize, that he was going to suffer because of the kingdom, or for the kingdom. Jesus was going to suffer. And he says, "You will suffer too. You're going to suffer for the kingdom. You're going to live a different life than those people in the world. You're going to suffer for different reasons." The cup was suffering. He was going to be immersed in suffering. Matthew 26:39, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Luke 12:50, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am till it is accomplished." Jesus told them, "You will indeed drink this cup." You know, next we see the other disciples, the 10, they were getting very displeased. In fact, they were angry because James and John were trying to one-up them and get ahead of them. This isn't great. Verse 42. "Jesus, come here, guys. Come here. Come around me." Here we see kingdom greatness different than worldly greatness. He teaches them about how Gentiles rule over, they lord it over, their positions over people. You see, Roman Gentile leaders commanded and demanded. They were elitists. They considered themselves like gods, the Caesars did, demanding obedience and demanding subservience. Greatness doesn't come from being best or better, because that's how the Gentiles act, and that's not going to work here. This is not going to work here. The kingdom of God lends itself to things like faithfulness and kindness and gentleness and patience and self-control and love and joy and peace. You know, in class this morning, we went to Galatians chapter 5 and we find out what worldliness is like just a little bit before that context. Let's go over there together. Galatians chapter 5. get my fingers to work here. Verse 17 says, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, and heresies," and it goes on. But don't we see that here in this context? A little bit of selfish ambitions and jealousies? That's what was going on. They were headed down the wrong path. Worldliness can overtake you if you let it. Jesus talked about this baptism that he was getting ready to be immersed into. Now, this is the same word that's used about our baptism that we use, that Peter referred to in Acts chapter 2. This immersion. You know, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to have hard times. We don't want to have bad times. But if you're a Christian and you're faithful, there's going to be times of suffering. None of us likes to suffer. But if you're really willing to subject yourself to kingdom greatness, then you're going to suffer. You see, if you're not part of the crowd that's worldly, you're going to suffer. Sixth, we see greatness is found in quiet, humble service. Gerald read Matthew 18, 1 through 4 for us, this comparison of a small child, humble and quiet. Whoever desires to be first shall be last. That doesn't add up in the world, does it? If you want to be great or you want to be good, you got to get ahead of people. You got to step on people to get ahead. And that's so contrary to what Jesus is trying to teach these guys here. Kingdom greatness is different than worldly greatness. Even the Son of Man came to serve and not be served, but to give himself a ransom for many. Verse 45 of Mark chapter 10. You see, that doesn't line up with our society. That doesn't line up with what Christ is trying to teach here. You've got to be different. Matthew chapter 6, "Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds to be seen before men, to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven." We kind of touched a little bit on that last week. We need to be quiet, humble servants. Encourage and love and help. Do it and don't tell anybody. That's what Jesus is saying. Are you willing to do something and not get a pat on the back? Will you do it without receiving a pat on the back? You see, that's the opposite of kingdom power. You see, kingdom power is God power. Doing things that God wants and not what we want sometimes. Let's don't concentrate on being better than others. But let's concentrate on serving one another. Let's concentrate on serving God. Will you achieve greatness here on earth? Or will you be one that wants to achieve greatness in the kingdom of God? Because if you will want to, that means we have to change. We have to change our attitude. We have to change our mindset. And that means we have to change the way we look at things. That means we can't have a view of things like society does. You see, that people will try to convince us that society is the one that tells us what's right and what's wrong. Society tells us what is acceptable in the eyes of men. But you see, it's God that tells us what is acceptable in the sight of Himself. Are you seeking godly wisdom? Or are you looking for worldly wisdom? You see, that's contrary to God. Like we read in Galatians chapter 5. You see, those sins are in opposition to what the Spirit wills. We achieve greatness in the kingdom of God. Will you be part of something bigger and better than yourselves? Will you do it willingly? Will you do it to be seen by God, or will you do it to be seen by man? Or will you do it because you love God? These are just a few things this morning that we've gleaned from this short little lesson. And it's amazing how this pops up in this section after Jesus had been teaching about the things that He was teaching about. You see, kingdom greatness is different than worldly greatness. Do you want to serve God? Then that means you've got to serve others. You can't serve self. See, that's against what the Bible teaches. If you want to be great, you've got to serve. And then you'll receive glory. Isn't that amazing? That means we got to live different than what society tells us. That means you got to live the way the Bible teaches us to live. I love verse 45, and you should too. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many. Are you willing to sacrifice your life? Are you willing to sacrifice greatness? Are you willing to sacrifice worldly greatness for kingdom greatness? If you are this morning, then this lesson is yours. If you're here this morning and you're subject to this lesson, that you need to make a change in your life. You need to change your way of thinking to what Jesus is trying to teach these beloved 12 men, teaching us, then we're here to help you. We're here to encourage you. We're here to pat you on the back. We're here to tell you how much we love you. We want to encourage you. We don't want you to hurt. We don't want you to suffer for the wrong reasons. We love you. And we want that message to come across, that we're really willing to help you and not step on you to get to some position, because that doesn't work in the kingdom of God. If you're not a Christian and you've been thinking it's time to put Christ on in baptism, then we want to help you with that this morning. We want to be there for you and to pray with you and to encourage you. Isn't it amazing how both those are really the same? We struggle every day with sin. We struggle every day with stress, and we're distressed. Let the love of Christ cover you. Let the Word of God teach you what true greatness is: serving God and serving others. If you are subject this morning to this lesson, won't you come as we stand and sing together?